All right, our text for this morning is John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, and this is the word of Almighty God. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their own homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Pray with me, friends. Lord, even now, as we spend our time together, our prayer is that you will be magnified in all that we hear, all that we do. Help us to remember the great joy that there is in knowing Jesus is alive. It's in the Savior's holy name we pray. Amen. All right, if you're not sitting, you can. So John told us in his book that Jesus is God who took on flesh and came to earth. John told us that Jesus came to rescue people from their sins and make them children of God. John told us that Jesus would accomplish this mission by actually dying, laying down his own life as a sacrifice for the sins of others. In the first 19 chapters of John, which we've studied over the past couple weeks, maybe it took a little longer than a couple weeks, but we've been doing it, right? Jesus said things only God would say. Jesus did things only God could do. And most recently, we watched Jesus knowingly, willingly allow himself to be arrested by the Romans. He refused to defend himself at his trials. We saw Jesus mistreated, though it always was clear Jesus was in control. And then we saw Jesus die. He was nailed to a cross. He gave up his spirit. Jesus died, and his dead body was sealed up in a tomb. Now, for all the things that Jesus said about himself to be true, for Jesus to truly prove that he's God and that he can save us from our sins, one more thing has to occur. Jesus promised it would take place. In John 16, 22, Jesus said, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Jesus promised he would die, that his disciples would have great sorrow, but that their sorrow would be changed to joy. Jesus promised that though he would die, he would return. He would come back to life. He would rise from the dead. Everything about Christianity stands or falls based on the truth of Jesus' promise to come back from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17 says to us, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." If Jesus is dead, Christianity means nothing. If Jesus is dead, everything John wrote about Jesus is useless. But if Jesus is alive, if he has risen from the dead, then his words are true. He proves to us his identity. He proves to us his finished work. He proves to us all of his promises when Jesus conquers death. And that's why what we study this morning is so important. Everything about your eternity and mine hinges on the truth of this single passage. So with our eyes and our ears open, let's take a look at John's words and respond to them appropriately. If you can keep your papers from blowing away, you can write down 3 points this morning. Point number one, pray that you will not remain in the dark. Pray that you will not remain in the dark. Look at verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him.'" It was Friday when Jesus was sent to death, to be put to death on the cross. It was Friday when Jesus died. It was Friday when Jesus was buried. So from the end of Friday, through all of Saturday, through the beginning hours of Sunday morning, the followers of Jesus have been weeping and mourning. Jesus is dead. Very few of them have been able to understand that what happened is exactly what Jesus predicted would happen. Their hearts are broken. Now, very early on Sunday morning, the third day, a woman named Mary from a town called Magdala comes to the tomb. When Mary arrives at the tomb, she sees that the tomb is open. Last time she saw it, the stone was sealing up the entrance. But now it's not. Mary wastes no time. She turns and she runs for all she's worth. She races to find Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, and tells them that she believes that people have stolen Jesus' body out of the tomb. In those days, it wasn't at all uncommon for men to rob graves. So Mary thinks that's what's happened here. Now, we're going to see Mary again in a few paragraphs, but the scene is going to shift not from Mary's response, but to the response of the two disciples. But before we go there, let's take just one moment to get our hearts ready to see what's coming. John told us when Mary went to the tomb, it was still dark. Now, sometimes John uses language like this on two different levels. So get ready to think figuratively and spiritually with me, okay? Yes, it was early in the morning. It was barely breaking dawn. It was just starting to maybe become light when Mary went to the tomb. That's true. But it's also true, Mary was in the dark. She didn't understand what was happening. All through John's gospel, when we see it be dark, it's always telling us that somebody didn't get it. When Judas went out from Jesus, John pointed out it was night. When Nicodemus didn't know who Jesus was, John really emphasized Nicodemus came to him by night. This morning, as we look at the remainder of this text, I think God wants you and me to take a clue from Mary. Right now, in this part of the story, Mary's in the dark. Right now, she doesn't remember what Jesus has already promised. Right now, Mary is missing something glorious. She's missing what Jesus has done. Right now, I would urge you to pray and ask God, "God, help me not be in the dark." God wants you to see the truth for yourself. So pray that God will not let you be in the dark this morning about things that matter eternally. And that takes us to our second point this morning. Point number two. Believe that Jesus literally and physically rose from the dead. Point number two. Believe that Jesus literally and physically rose from the dead. Verses 3 and 4. So Peter went out with the other disciple. And they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. So Peter and John do what I think is perfectly normal under these circumstances. They've heard Mary's report that robbers have stolen Jesus' body, and they run to the tomb to see for themselves. John says, I outran Peter, reaching the tomb first. Right here, friends. This is one of the verses in the Bible that reminds us that this was written by real men who were really there. John says to you and to me, in case you're wondering, I left Peter in my dust. As a man, I can tell you, if you get to write a book, this is certainly a detail that you put in your account of the events. Then verses 5 to 7. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. So John gets there early. He peeps in, and as he stoops down to peep into the tomb, he notices that the grave clothes, the linens in which Jesus' body was wrapped, they're still in the tomb, but the body's gone. Then Peter arrives, huffing and puffing because he's older. And he slides past the younger man. He goes right on into the tomb because Peter don't wait on stuff. And like John, Peter sees that the wrappings where the body had been was empty. And Peter notices that the face cloth was set apart from the other linens. It was folded up neatly and put in its place. And at this point, if Peter and John were thinking clearly at all, they would have seen that there was something remarkable happening. Mary, Peter, John, they had no problem believing that Jesus' body had been stolen, but a glance in the tomb reveals to us that the linens are still there. Friends, the body has not been stolen. No thief who wanted to plunder a grave would have taken the body and left the linens and the spices behind. You know why? The material and the spices that were on the material, the linens and the spices, that's what you would have broken in to steal. So for thieves to take the body but leave the grave clothes behind would be totally ridiculous. Make sense? That's nuts. These guys, people would have gone into the tomb and wasted extra time to leave behind the thing they wanted to steal. Now, John 20, verses 8 to 10 says to us, then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. So finally, John gets to go into the tomb. He looks around. And the Bible says John believes. But what John believes at this point is hard to say. Certainly, he believes the body's gone. But I don't think that John understands yet the whole picture. Why? Verse 9 tells us he did not understand that the Bible promises us Jesus must rise from the dead. So Peter and John, they head home, they're scratching their heads, they're wondering, what do I make of this strange turn of events? And you and I sit here 2,000 years later, and you have the same job as Peter and John. What will you make of these events? Let me give you a little evidence that points to the fact that John is telling the truth. First, very simply put, Jesus really died on the cross. The Roman soldiers made sure of that. Second, the body was not in the tomb. The tomb had been sealed. The tomb had been guarded by Roman soldiers, but it was not there. The grave clothes, though, were left in the tomb. That makes zero sense if the grave was robbed. It also makes zero sense if the body had been stolen. Robbers would not have taken the time to unwrap the body if what they intended to do was steal the body. And it makes zero sense for robbers to have neatly folded up that headpiece. I mean, if you were for some reason taking the body and leaving the valuable stuff behind, you don't fold the face napkin up. Hold on, guys. I know someone might catch us, but let me take a minute to fold this up nicely and put it on the shelf. No. You throw things down and you run. No, no, no. Something different happened in this tomb. For this tomb to be empty, let me just say it in as clear a way as I possibly can. Jesus' body was not stolen from that tomb. Jesus, who was dead in the tomb, came back to life. Jesus literally, physically rose from the dead. This is not imaginary. It's not figurative. It's not a symbol of something else. John is giving you simple, hard facts. Jesus was dead, but on the third day, Jesus was alive again. Now, you might wonder, is John really telling us all that stuff Travis just said? Well, watch as the scene returns to Mary Magdalene, and you're going to see that John most certainly is telling us all that stuff. Third point, our last one for today. Keep warm, you're going to make it. Point three, come to Jesus when you hear his voice. Come to Jesus when you hear his voice. 11 to 13 says, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him. So Mary's at the tomb. She doesn't understand. Weeping, she finally stoops to look for herself into the tomb. But what she sees is more than what John told us that Peter and he saw. God allows Mary to see two angels in the tomb, seated at either end of where Jesus' dead body had been laid. And the angels present Mary with a very simple question. Why are you weeping? This is one of the only places in the Bible, by the way, we see a person encounter an angel and not fall to the ground in fear like they're about to pass out. And that tells us Mary was very emotional. She was very distraught here. She was so emotional that the presence of angels isn't even registering on her brain. So when they say, why are you weeping? Mary answers the question. I think somebody stole Jesus' body and I don't like it. I don't know where he is. If you think that part is surprising, by the way, look what happens next. Verses 14 and 15. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. Now something, maybe there's a little noise behind her, causes Mary to turn around. And when she turns, she sees a man standing there. She doesn't realize who it is, though. So she assumes that maybe this is the gardener walking up to the tomb. Now, why might she have missed who Jesus was standing there? Well, one thing is, she's got her face in a dark cave, and all of a sudden she turns around. Maybe the sun's at his back. Maybe she sees a silhouette. Who knows? But the man asked Mary the same question that the angels asked her. Why are you weeping? And Mary says, I figure the gardener's going to know what happened to the body of Jesus. And so she pleads with the man, just help me find this body that I'm looking for. I'll take it away. I'll have it properly buried somewhere else. Just help me find it. But I do think it's amazing that the Bible tells us Mary is looking straight at the newly resurrected Jesus. Jesus is alive. He is standing right there in front of her. But for some reason, she doesn't understand who it is. Maybe it's the sunlight. In the book of Luke, there are two other disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and they too do not recognize Jesus at first. God, for some reason, just doesn't let them recognize Jesus. In John 21, you'll see another scene where people don't recognize Jesus immediately, and all of a sudden, God lets them realize who he is. Then verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. One word from the mouth of Jesus, and all of Mary's confusion and all of her sorrow melts away. He calls her name. And when Mary hears her name, spoken by that familiar voice in that familiar way, God opens her heart and God opens her mind, and she cries out, teacher! She knows that she's standing in front of Jesus. She may not understand how it's happening, but she knows Jesus is alive again. Then the last two verses we're studying today, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. You got to picture Mary running up to Jesus like she's going to grab hold of him, maybe grabs hold of his feet. One of the Gospels points that direction. She's so happy to see him. She didn't want to let him go. But Jesus says to Mary, this really isn't the way that you're going to relate to me, Mary. For about a month, 40 days, Jesus is going to be around physically. For 40 days, he's going to physically walk along the earth with his disciples one more time. But after those 40 days are over, Jesus is going to ascend to his Father in heaven. He is going to rise up from the earth, stand in the throne room of heaven, and sit down on the throne of the universe. The living Lord Jesus will leave behind his followers to take his own rightful place as the King of the universe. And how nice is it that Jesus says, go tell them I'm going to see my God and your God. Jesus did not leave his disciples out. He didn't make them feel like they were going to have to be outsiders, that he's got some God they don't have. No, no. Jesus is, in fact, going to help them to relate to the Almighty because Jesus is God who came to rescue their very souls. So Jesus sends Mary on her way. He wants her to tell his followers, hey, guys, I'm alive. She doesn't have to cling to him right now because he's not leaving right now. He's going to be on earth for 40 more days. At the same time, she can't continue to cling to him because there's going to come a time in 40 days when he's going to fly to the throne of God and take his place until the day of his return. And as our view of this account fades today, Mary is running back to the disciples and she's going to tell them one simple thing. Jesus is alive. And you and I are left to consider what we've learned. Jesus died just as he predicted. Jesus allowed himself to become a sacrifice for the sins of others just as he predicted. Jesus was in the grave over 3 days just as he predicted. And then something amazing happened. In the darkness of the tomb, Jesus' dead body lay. It was cold. The heart was not beating. The brain was not functioning. He was dead. And then God did something. Something glorious. Imagine the heart started beating again. Blood started pumping again. Brainwaves started moving again. The lungs began to take in air again. The eyes opened again. Jesus sat up alive and took off the grave clothes and folded up the headcloth and walked out of the tomb. Is that something you can believe? Yes. Mary didn't believe it at first. She looked at the living Jesus, and for just a little while, she didn't get it. For just a little while, she was in the dark. But when Jesus said her name, God opened her eyes. When Jesus said her name, Mary believed. Her life changed at that very moment, and that change would last forever. This morning, Jesus may be calling your name. You're not going to hear it with your ears, by the way. But if your heart has been opened by God, you will understand that Jesus is alive. And if God convinces you of the truth that Jesus is alive, you can believe the truth about who Jesus is and everything he's done. Here's the bottom line of what we need to understand today. God is perfect. God has created us, and he has the right to demand we follow him. And following him is good. All of us, however, have chosen to disobey God. Just think it through. Anybody here want to deny ever disobeying God? Not so much, right? You know that at one time or another, you and I, all of us, have chosen to do what is not right because God's good and we're not. God's perfect and we're not. And because God's perfect and God's perfectly just, we are in deep, deep trouble with God. According to God's perfection, he should punish us all for our sin. And if God were to make our punishment fit the crime of sinning against a perfect and infinitely holy God, we would spend an infinite amount of time in hell suffering the wrath of Almighty God, his fury for sin. The good news is that God is also loving and merciful. He has chosen to offer us grace and mercy and forgiveness. Yes. But he's only chosen to offer it to us one way. Jesus, God the Son, came to earth and died as a sacrifice. And God has promised that he will forgive everybody who comes to Jesus in faith, turning from his or her sins, seeking God's forgiveness. If you come to Jesus, all of your sins of your entire life, they were already punished because God punished Jesus on the cross for your wrong. But if you refuse to come to Jesus, then you will suffer the perfect penalty for your sins by spending forever in hell under the wrath of God. Where are you this morning? Are you in the dark? Or has God opened your eyes? Jesus is alive, and your entire eternity hinges on this truth. Do you believe you're guilty before God and deserve his wrath? Do you believe that Jesus died as a sacrifice that was enough to pay the price for your sins? Do you believe that Jesus is alive and no longer dead? Have you turned away from living for self and asked Jesus, "Oh Jesus, have mercy on me"? If you haven't, today, what a day it would be for you to do so. Pray that God will open your eyes. Pray that God will help you believe. Pray that Jesus will forgive your sin and become your Lord and become your master. And if you have put your trust in Jesus, have you put your trust in Jesus, by the way?
Amen.
All right. Then today should be for you a great day of celebration. Remember what Jesus has done. Stand in awe of the power of God to raise Jesus from the dead. Thank God that the power of God made Jesus live even after his death. And that means that you too will live after you die. And I just urge you, worship Jesus, the risen Savior and the Lord of Lords. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord God, here we are, and we thank you again for the gospel. We thank you again for the church. We thank you for every grace you've given us. I pray that if anybody here hears this and does not know Jesus, that you will speak to their hearts and change their lives. And I pray for all of us who do know Jesus, that you will help us celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen. We worship you, and it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.